Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. It's show number 30, and this week's guest is Gregory Lancaster. He comes to us to talk about his cold case, pinhole, file series that he's been working on, and we talk about some old emails. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is show 30. And as always, we have the ever wonderful Andrew Bartram with us. Andrew, what's going on?
The ever wonderful, eh? And you also said as ever. You shouldn't take me for granted. You know, one day I might just not be here.
So we'll do this. Andrew, the master of disaster Bartram. Is that better?
Yeah, but people listening to this show don't realize that you're on about your fourth introduction and that you've had about three goes at it so far. So can we not do any? Can we not do any more?
Some days I'm just off. Some days I'm off.
Have you had a good week? Have you had a good pinhole week?
I have actually. I got
you've been
out.
You've been posting some great images. That one under the bridge with that beautiful FP4 film.
Yep, that was under the pier.
Under the pier.
Yeah, I went out one day and did some shooting in the morning, going to check the waves, actually, hoping that the waves are going to be good, and it wasn't that great, so I just took a bunch of pictures. And then the remnants of Hurricane Michael blew through, and I was up and at the beach before the sun came up, checking the surf, and I got some I did some pinhole and color of the sunrise.
Mm.
I developed those this morning. I developed two rolls of color pinhole stuff this morning, so as soon as it dries I'm gonna get it scanned. So
that image you posted under the pier,
yeah,
can you remember where did you base your exposure? Because there's quite a bit of contrast range there, isn't there? Did you just sort of poke it down find a midpoint somewhere? What did you do?
I just metered with just used pinhole assist.
Yeah, I know, but where did you point it?
I just, what I'll do is whatever angle my camera is pointed at.
You just do the same thing and hope that it averages out.
I take it and I'll literally open it up the app and just set my phone either at the same angle as the top of it, or literally just put it in front of where the pinhole is, you know, pointing out, and just look at it and see what it says, and then I just go from there.
Okay.
But enough about that.
No.
We have a guest.
We have to
introduce our guest.
Okay, go on then,
Andrew. So we have this week. We have Greg Lancaster. Greg, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, man. Excellent. You guys, if you're not familiar with Greg, let me do that again. On Instagram, Greg is small_aperture, right?
That's me. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been following Greg for a little while, and I like, because you do the gun boxes. What are they?
Well, I like to make cameras for specific projects, and that one I was into cold case files in Portland, where I'm from.
Right.
And so I figured I might as well make a camera that kind of fits the project, and using a gun just, you know, wasn't a good idea. So found a couple pistol hard cases and just glued them together and just cut a hole in the middle of them, and
They're glued together.
Yeah. So it's two that are glued together.
Gotcha.
Hang on, Greg. So you were referring to cold cases. Is this just a fascination you have, or is this something you do as a day job?
No, it's I don't know where the fascination came from. I just wanted to start a project that was, you know, something a little different, or something that might somehow be able to help someone. And so I just figured, why not start with cold cases?
Yeah.
But
because that was what I saw first was I saw the picture that you have on there of the cases, which is like the first picture on your Instagram, just about, isn't it?
I started it just for that. So, yeah.
And then you kind of set up scenarios with each picture after that. Are the facts of those? I'm sure they're just made up, right? I mean, you're just.
No. So I went on to the public, or the police cold case files of Portland, and all that information is just copy pasted from there. So I would actually go to the locations where these people were murdered.
Wow.
And
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Not in that sense. I mean, it's awesome crazy.
It's crazy.
You're looking at it and you don't know. You think when you see the images and then they have that description, you're like, well, is this actually, a real case, or is this something that he's just coming up with to go along with the scene and the cases that he's doing? I mean, I think that's pretty cool.
It was fun, but then I actually got to one. I believe his name was Ram Singh. And it was like this young kid shot at like a playground. And they're all handheld images for about 45 seconds.
Wow. And like, that's cool.
Like just like feeling all that and like knowing that, a child was murdered on this playground. And I just had to stop doing it because it was taking an emotional toll.
It's too much, huh?
Yeah.
But that's I have to confess, I hadn't quite realized that's what you were doing, but that's just that's amazing. That and naked self portraits of you. But I think the cold case idea is fantastic.
Yeah,
you must be able to. Okay, don't veer away from sort of dead people and take that idea, and you should take that idea and carry it on somehow.
So I kind of did. There's a couple on my feed about haunted places in Portland.
Mm.
So I thought, I'm like, oh, this will lighten the mood.
White Eagle Tavern.
Yes, that's one of my favorite ones. Yeah. But then again, I'm standing there for, I think those ones were like 45 minutes, just thinking about how this ghost is gonna come grab me or something. I don't know.
hoping he walks in front of your camera and gives you a peace sign or something.
Yeah. So that one's on a little bit of a hiatus, but I might go back to that one.
Well, let's let everybody listening know a little bit about yourself, kind of how you came to getting into Pinhole and, you're in Portland. So let everybody kind of know a little bit about yourself.
Well, I got into photography. This was film photography in like, 99, 2000. And so it was right before the digital switch. And
the big boom.
Yeah, the big boom. And I was going to school then, and we still had a wet dark room. We didn't even have a digital lab yet. So everything I learned was, in a dark room. And then I don't know, I always had a fascination with like really shallow depth of field, and like I liked all the blurriness and I didn't care about the parts that were in focus. So then I had a professor named, actually he was a grad student at the time, Ryan Belknap, who that's all he did was pinhole stuff. He made an entire suit out of pinholes, like in his shoes, his pipe, his cane, his hat, like everything.
Really?
Yeah, it was great. And so that, after seeing all those things, I was like, man, I've got to do this. And so ever since, I guess, 2001, I've just been doing all pinhole all the time. I try and stay away from the digital stuff, even though some of my work makes me do it. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
So this, your Instagram feed, which is a little few more pictures on there than Andre Dominguez has on his Instagram feed.
Oh, good.
But, this clearly isn't the sole output of your work. What were you leading up to this cold case stuff? Were you always working in themes, or did you just plonk your pinhole camera down anywhere you fancy?
I used to just do whatever, I'd go on, photo walks and just shoot whatever, and always had fun with it, but I didn't feel like I was getting a purpose from my work. Mm-hmm. And so now, I guess in the last like 6 or 7 years, all my work is mainly series that I'm doing, or and I just feel like I'm getting more out of it myself.
Storytelling certainly comes through in these images on your Instagram feed, and that's obviously linked by this cold case scenario. Yeah, and these are all paper negatives, are they?
Yeah, I haven't shot film negative. Well, I'm trying right now, but I like paper. I like the long waits.
Right. Yeah. And that's it's funny you say that because I'm not really into paper. I like doing film. Everybody's right. All the cameras that we've been talking about making, the anamorphics and whatnot. I think everybody's kind of using paper, but I'm like, oh man, I don't really like using paper. I'd rather just with film.
I'm going to use film. It's just when particularly if you're making one, like out of some rubbishy old box or something, then you know, it's for me, it's just easier to put a bit of paper in there just to see, hey, what happens when I point this camera in this angle or that angle. So I'm not at the moment. I'm experimenting, but with anamorphic, but I don't. Because I don't really know what I'm doing, to be truthful, then I don't want to rip up a roll of my beloved FP4 or HP5. I can just stick some paper in, and it's just easier. And I can see the results easily because I've got darkroom chemicals on hand, and I can just nip in the darkroom and develop that negative and see what's going on.
That's exactly how I am.
But you've done some film, Greg. It looks like you've got there's at least one sprockety portrait of you with HP5.
I tried to do some and I just didn't like it. It was not to say that I'm not going to do film in the future, but there's just I gotta stick with paper right now.
I love the attraction of paper. I've barely done, like Corey, I've barely done anything with it, but people like Diane Peetson, who we've had on here before, just make some beautiful paper negatives.
I also really like the size that I can get because since I don't enlarge things really, you know, like all those self portraits are 4 pieces of 8x10. So they're pretty big.
Wow.
Okay.
That's cool.
And I don't know. I never feel like anything's big enough. I want to make my negatives, you know, the size of a room or something.
Well, if you listen to one of the earlier episodes, I'm going to say somewhere around 10 or 15, Heather Oklas. That's right.
Oklas.
Oklas. Anyway, Heather, with her pinhole truck. Have you listened to that show, Greg? If you if you go back and listen to Heather's yellow truck, she photographs on an array. So I don't know how many. I can't remember how many 8x10s.
30.
At least, maybe more. Magnetically stuck to the side of her truck, opposite
side of it.
Yeah, opposite the pinhole.
Yeah,
which is something like F1500 or something stupid. And she has she pulls up against a building or a scene she likes, and she's actually inside her camera, but her images are on all these 30, 40, 50, 8x10 sheets. Yeah. So she has this massive, massive image, which is just she displays it in exhibitions just as a negative, and it's really striking, isn't it, Corey?
You'd think that if displaying as a negative would kind of be, it wouldn't be too great, but I mean, I think it works out good, especially with the contrast. You know, your eyes kind of get shifted around, and you're looking at it.
Yeah,
it takes a second, then you're like, oh, I see. There it is. You know, it's like.
Greg, your cold case pictures, which are made, look like they're made up of maybe 2 pieces of paper taped together.
Yeah, I taped them together. I think those ones are pretty small. I just cut up a bunch of 5x7 paper and then retaped it together because I don't know. There's something about the look of, you know, the a couple of sheets of paper laying over each other. I really like the aesthetic.
Yeah, sure. I think I mentioned something to you on Instagram about particularly the self-portraits with the with the tear going down, and you know, it is an interesting aesthetic. But you can read into that all sorts of things. I don't want to psychoanalyze. You're not here anyway.
Yeah, I don't.
He'll wait till he gets you alone.
Oh, great. I won't go alone with him then.
Yeah, don't leave yourself alone with Andrew. If you're smart, I wouldn't do it.
So how is your personality? Is it all whole and together?
I hope so. That's mainly just, you know, sheets of paper being folded on top of each other because, like, they wouldn't fit into the camera properly. So they're like actually folded up at the end.
Yeah, it's a great look.
So, Well, thank you.
So your self-portraits then clearly, presumably, aren't made in the gun case.
No, that's just literally some cardboard that I took from work and duct taped together. The camera actually fell apart, so I have to make a new one. Right. It's just really shoddily made.
Was it a homemade cardboard camera that would take 4 8x10 sheets?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Did you ever have to explain when you would walk up with your case, cold case pinhole camera and set it down? Were you ever looked at oddly and questioned?
No, not. Luckily, the exposures were only like 45 seconds. So most of them weren't too bad. But, you know, I got a couple looks here and there because I'm just standing there with a case against my chest. And it's like, what's this guy doing, man? Yeah. But no one really ever stopped to talk to me about it. So.
Right.
What I like, I don't know if you do this for all of them. It says here you were having an exchange with that retrobate Toby, Toby VD.
Yeah.
And he was asking you about your pinholes, and you says, I usually just stab a piece of aluminum for my pinhole. So about 90% of them are purposely like this. Well, look, all the anxiety that people go through about pinholes, and you're just poking a pin through a bit of aluminium foil. And you're getting some great results. I
feel like lately in like the Facebook forum and everything, there's been a lot of people like, I need this perfect pinhole, I need all this stuff, and I just don't want the perfect stuff, you know? Like it seems like so much work, and it's like, why not make like the self-portrait is literally a drill bit that I just shoved through a aluminum soda can, you know?
And right.
I don't know. I just...
Well, that's the beauty about pinhole, you know? I mean, it's just like any other type of photography. You can get as technical as you want with it, or you can just not get technical with it and still have fun, you know? I mean, it's all about what you want to do and being happy with what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if I'm shelling out $100 on a nice reality camera, I'd like to think someone's gone to an effort to make a half decent pinhole and not just shoved a pin through. But to be honest, if you're, you know, I've made this crappy anamorphic camera out of a truffle box,
a bonbon tin.
No, it's truffle cam. So at the moment, I've got a James Guerin pinhole on there that Stig of the Dump gave to me. I hadn't bought these things; he just gave them to me. So I just had it to hand. And I thought 0.3 of a mil would be about right. So I stuck it on and it works fine. But actually, I'm going to take it off. After I've done a bit more experimenting with the reality pinhole, I'm going to just try the tin can approach and see. Because why would you have a crappy camera made out of cardboard and then put a high-end laser drilled pinhole on it? It's a bit perverse. Well, I know you can do whatever rocks your boat, but I'm kind of with Greg on this, you know.
And I
love the look he gets, so I'm going to copy it.
So
do it.
So you're up in Portland, so you are near a lot of pinhole community folks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know absolutely none of them.
Oh, really? Oh, you should meet up with them. Because Moni lives there. She lives up there, doesn't she?
She does. Moni Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do you know? Are you familiar with Moni?
I'm not familiar, no.
She's just type in crafty Moni, M-O-N-I, into something like Instagram or Twitter.
Okay, she is.
She's there. She's doing the what's called the Git Swap, Greg, where they've got the Todd Schlemmer Terrapin camera, which is winging its way around the world.
I totally know who you're talking about now. I'm just so you know, I'm horrible with names.
That's cool. So is Andrew. He just doesn't want to say anything.
So Fred, what's Portland like?
Well, it's autumn now.
Yeah,
Steve.
There you go. Fire right back at him.
Yeah. It's actually very bright out today, and it's kind of make me want to go out and shoot some stuff. So
go shoot.
I'm going outside.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, I like to think we do inspire people. We had Chris Keeney on last week, and he admitted he hadn't shot many pinholes in a while, didn't he, Corey? And he came and chatted with us, and we fired him right up again. So we've stirred up his pinhole mojo.
What are you going to go out and shoot with? Are you going to? You're not doing the cold case, so you got some cameras that you made, or?
Yeah, I have. Well, I have a couple in. This always happens to me. I make like four cameras and have all these projects in mind. And then, you know, the first shot doesn't work out really well. So then I'm just like, whatever, I'm done.
All right.
So I'll probably work on getting some of those.
What's the,
and I want to get that anamorphic camera going because, you know,
yeah, those are cool.
It's a pain.
I have one made up that I'm going to make, but I don't really want to do it just yet. I'm waiting for Andrew to perfect his and come up with some images before I've posted mine.
I've posted an image. I'm not ashamed to show what I've been doing.
I know that I'm just waiting to do mine so that I can make mine better than yours and take all the credit.
You probably will. I'm going to go out tomorrow. I'm taking mine out again tomorrow if the weather's okay. I'm going to try and seal it up a bit better and stop the light getting in. I'm going to cut the exposure down because I think I was rating that Ilford paper at about 3. I think I maybe should do about 6. I think I'm probably overcooking it a bit. So I'm going to play again. I'm going to change the angle of the pinhole camera because I was kind of pointing it at this gravestone. And I quite like it, but I'm going to point it more away from the ground. I'm going to go back to the same spot and tilt the truffle cam more upright so the pinhole is more looking upwards and see what that does for me.
Yeah. It looked like you were pointing it straight at the ground. I was like, I don't think that's going to work.
No, it wasn't. No. So I've seen – what are you using, Greg? Because I'm looking at your picture.
Paper-wise.
No, camera.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
With that anamorphic camera is some like 2-inch PVC pipe I've stacked a couple and like glued them together, and it's not made very well. Like the ends, I don't have caps. It's just like electrical tape that I threw over the ends of it to like make it light tight. So.
And you've got at one end, one at the end of the cylinder, you've got your aluminium can with a you've got some paper just all the way around the tube.
Yeah, for the most part, I kind of feel like I'm just testing this out to see if I like it.
Yeah,
and then if I do, I want to make a really big one that can hold like a couple sheets of 8x10 all the way around.
Wow,
just make it kind of big. So. So we'll see if I can, if I get some images and angles right, then,
yeah,
you know,
that, we'll go. There's one I commented on, which I love. You've posted it at the end of September, and you've said been working on getting a halfway decent exposure from a new camera. So it's a picture of some weatherboards outside maybe your house with some leaves and a bit of a screen or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah. So
I said it looked like an early photo by Fox Talbot. Which
yeah,
it did.
Yeah.
What's going on there then?
That I was playing around with having, you know, my paper at about 180 degrees and rotating the pinhole around.
Remember, we're on radio, so you've got to be really good at describing things.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually like moving my hand like you guys can see it. So it was a pipe that, like two pipes that I had stuck together, and one end I could move the pinhole around the perimeter of the pipe. And that didn't work at all. It was
really
awful. So this image that you're talking about now is just a double exposure with that camera where it's shooting down, like straight down and then straight up. Two different exposures.
I see. But that's not your anamorphic camera, is it? This is something.
No, that's not anamorphic.
You were confusing me by talking about pipes again.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I've been building a lot of pipe cameras, which...
You have to be really careful, you know?
I know. I don't take those ones out too much.
People get scared really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So,
yeah.
How do you... What is your plans for Anamorphic? Are you going to keep going with it, or are you going to kind of just...
I definitely want to keep going with it. Because bad with names. One guy who's just amazing at it. Michael
Weitzman?
Yeah.
We're going to have him on. I'm chatting with him at the moment. Oh. He wants to come on during December, but he's running out of days. I've got to talk to Curry about it. Hello, Curry. Talk to you about it. Michael is the one who did that brilliant, fantastically brilliant wiggly train line picture in the bridge.
Yeah.
And he's using darkroom paper and lith chemicals to make lith images, which I've dabbled with in the past. But boy, he's using a Vermeer anamorphic camera 6x17, mm-hmm. which he's cropping. Yeah. He's cropping that down. And Cesare is working on a new 6x12, a new super duper 6x12 anamorphic camera, which
super duper.
Well, it irons out some of the problems. I don't know what the problems were of the first one, but I've been communicating with him just in case he wants to send me one to test.
There he is.
Yeah.
Michael Weitzman or Weitzman. I'm not sure how we pronounce his name at the moment. He's just posting some fantastically brilliant anamorphic images, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I want to get on that game. And, there's actually a book called Zoomscapes. It's an architecture book from like the 90s, I believe.
All that time ago. It's like the Dark Ages.
It's all about how you view architecture and how like people just like see buildings while driving in cars.
Mm.
And like they don't, you know, we don't have like all that detailed. All those detailed buildings that we used to have.
Sure.
What's it called, Greg? What's the book called?
It's called Zoomscapes. It is by the author is Mitchell Schwartzer. It's a very intense read.
no good for you, Curry. Does it have lots of pictures?
It has a couple, but the font's really small.
Stay away from it, Curry.
Yeah,
what you're saying about architecture drives me crazy, because where I'm at, there's absolutely no, imagination for anything. They just make a parking lot and they just make a rectangle building. You know what I mean? And that's it. There's nothing else to it at all. It's so boring. I mean,
that's
insane.
You just photograph six of them, post them all together, and then you're right down in the old new topographic route there, and you'll get loads of likes for.
What used to drive me crazy about the most about that in my area was when I was younger and I was skateboarding a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to skate around buildings, you know, it's just like a flat parking lot. That's it. You know what I mean? There's no design and steps and fountains and you know what I mean? Ledges or nothing, you know, it's like,
you weren't one of those skateboarders who'd slide down the rails on the trucks. See that? That term I'm using.
Trucks or rails. Which one are we using?
No, the trucks. My understanding is that the trucks are the devices that hold the wheels onto the skateboard, aren't they?
Yeah, good job.
I used to do a bit of skateboarding in my youth.
Grind rails.
No, I don't think I was ever that clever. I used to be able to do a few tricks, you know, and
were you one of those guys who rode by doing a handstand on the clay wheels?
No, I used to be able to do a mean power slide. Do you know what that is?
Oh yeah.
Crouching down and then you sort of do something, put your hand down, don't you? And then you slide around. Remember, I couldn't even bend down to do that now.
Let's see. I want you to videotape doing a power slide and put it up on.
No, that was, I was, your... about, I was about 14 then. It was a long time ago. There used to be a top skateboarder then, and his name was something like, I think he was Japanese, and his name was Shugo Kubo or something like that.
Shugo Kubo?
Yes. Does that name ring a bell?
No.
Sounds
see,
made up.
You guys know nothing.
Yeah.
Call yourself hip American skateboarders. Yeah. I was there.
I think we should get back to pinhole time.
So what's the next project then, Greg?
Right now, I posted on my Instagram story about some cabinet that I am trying to convert, but I don't know if you guys saw it. It's literally a cabinet I got at a hardware store, and I can't get it light tight, but I want to do just some super long landscapes.
What sort of cabinet are we talking about? Like a wardrobe or something, or something smaller?
Like a kitchen cabinet.
Is it red?
It is not. It is white.
Are you getting confused with someone else's cabinet, Corey?
I am. I think it's Toby. I think Toby just posted a picture a few minutes ago of a red cabinet with a bunch of tins in it in like an antique store, maybe.
Oh yeah,
that's what I'm thinking about. So sorry.
No, that's fine.
He's not going to make a pinhole camera out of that, is he? I think you're just getting confused.
Yeah, I'm always confused.
So what were you looking to? Are you looking to try and make it light tight, and then you're going to line the back of it with multiple pieces of paper? That was the idea.
Yeah.
I guess.
So I think I can get 8 pieces of 8x10 in there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So hopefully that will work out. But that's one of those cameras that I started earlier this week and got frustrated with it, and so it's
just sitting there staring at you.
Sitting, yeah. And my wife is. Just trying to hide it. She keeps pushing it back further against the in the storage unit.
What's this doing here?
Yeah.
So in your kitchen, do you just have like lots of holes drilled in things?
Everything.
Your
Everything
wife must love you.
Excuse me.
That would be quite a project. You should do that. You should tell her that she'll never notice. Drill holes in all your kitchen cabinet doors.
Yeah.
Set up
and put little pieces of black tape over them. She'll be like, what are you trying to... I'm hiding the hole. You can't even see it now.
Yeah, she'll get a kick out of that.
Yeah, she'll love it.
So it's awesome. Are you going to use your cabinet, if you get it light tight, your cabinet pinhole, with a particular theme in mind? So you used your gun. I like the idea of linking the gun cases to shoot pinholes, not people.
Guns. Shoot pinholes, not guns. That's
or guns. Yeah.
I love the idea of having your camera be involved, like the look of your camera be part of the project. Like, with the cold case, I would probably, if I ever displayed those in a gallery or something, I would probably put that camera in there. So
sure,
there's a connection. But with the cabinet, it's really more about finding something big enough to hold the paper that I want that's still light enough to move. And so that one doesn't have a connection, unfortunately. Maybe I should rethink it, but we'll see.
Well, yeah, there must be some ideas. Maybe you could take it round. I don't know what your town's like. You could take it round old stores, mom and pop stores.
Yeah.
And say, can I just leave this here for half an hour or however long you think your exposure is going to be?
Right.
And then you're taking it, moving it around. You could record the insides of shops or something with old timey shops, or if you have such things, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah. We got a couple of those around.
There you go.
So we could probably figure something out like that.
You could use it for landscapes, take it down to the water and plop it down the side of the river or something,
Yeah, but there's no connection. I was trying to make a connection for Greg, not some just random thing that you're coming up with. I'm thinking deeply about this, Corey. For him. We're trying to help our guests, on his creative journey.
I think I'm going to actually do some landscape with it just to get images.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Well,
what paper are you using? I always ask people this as I try and fumble my way through the paper negative world.
You know, it's right now I have a big pack of Ilford Pearl.
Oh, there you go.
Paper, which I like. I like matte the best, but
Blue I like Moon. The Pearl. It's kind of in the middle, isn't it? It's like not quite shiny, but not quite so flat matte. You know,
I use
Blue Moon never has matte in stock.
No, so I use Pearl for if I'm at my stock resin paper in the darkroom. I use Pearl, and then when I'm printing on fiber paper, then I use glossy, which sands. Actually, when glossy is dry, you get it's got a nice sheen to it, but not overly shiny. You know, not like glossy resin coated.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. When I mentioned Ilford Multi Grade Pearl to Andrew Sanderson, he just poo pooed me. So there's one in your eye, Mr. Sanderson. I can be rude to him now because he sent me some film.
Oh, hey.
Yeah,
funny.
Do you have darkroom facilities at home, or do you have access to darkroom?
I have a bathroom.
Hey, there you go.
That's it.
You have bathrooms in Portland, do you?
Well, some of us, if you can afford one.
Right.
Corey doesn't have one. He has to go outside in the woods.
Yeah, I have one of those boxes with the moon cut in the door.
Oh, nice.
He has a pinhole camera set in there, so guests come around and says, I need to use your toilet. Oh, it's the one outside there.
There you go.
And then they go in, he locks the door and opens the pinhole lens.
I've got the pinhole camera in the corn cob.
I don't know the way my mind works sometimes. So do you, are you having to convert your little bathroom or your big bathroom every time? Or is it partly converted?
I convert it every time. We have two bathrooms, so it's the one we don't use very often. And so I try and get away with keeping my chemicals in there for as long as possible. But, you know, with two dogs running around, I don't want them to get into it. But no, I don't convert it every time, but it's set up. It's usable every time I need it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Because it's useful, you know, the thing about the paper negatives is that you can just see what you're doing under a red light, can't you, or a brown light or whatever you use.
But you got to set it up every time. I mean, if you go shoot, at least if you're doing film, you can have a changing bag, you know, and just do it and then just bonk, you know, done.
Yeah. I have a couple small trays.
There's a certain softness. I know you're using you're not using laser drilled pinholes, but even if you were, there's still a certain softness about the paper, isn't it? The paper negative gives a different look to the film negative.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is actually one thing I miss about film is the graininess of film and being able to push and pull film.
Right.
Which I
can still do that.
Yeah, I guess I've never really tried with paper, but like when I first started, I was, you know, shooting 400 speed film at 16 or 3200 because I just wanted all the grain I could possibly get.
Right.
You could print texture onto your images, couldn't you? Overlap. I've been doing something with tissue paper that gives, that makes things diffused in different parts of the image, but you could use Patterson, the photographic company. Patterson used to make texture screens which were designed to fit in the enlarger or maybe sandwich with a negative. I can't remember now. So you could
really,
yeah. Hmm. And you could, if you go on eBay, you can probably still find them. They're called Patterson texture screens, and they came in texture screens, and They came in 35mm and 120 sizes in packs of a dozen or so with different effects on. So, you know, you could do that. You could take some plain, developed, unexposed, developed, and fixed negative and just scratch it, can't you? And then you could sandwich that on top of things or, you know, if you wanted to. You know, if you're using film, or you can just lay things on top of your paper and print through it. You know, different materials.
Right.
As long as they're not opaque, of course. then you might struggle.
That might not work out.
So the self-portrait, is this going to be an ongoing?
Yeah, I think
you're examining you're examining yourself from different angles. Some clothed and some unclothed. I prefer you clothed, I have to say.
Oh well, most people do. I think that's going to be something that I just keep doing. I find it pretty meditative to do.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm just, you know, half hour exposures where I'm just focusing on one thing and trying not to think too much. I don't know. I think it's kind of helpful for myself to do those. So I'll keep doing them for sure. I'll try and do more with some clothes, but no promises.
No, it's fine. No, I think I like the idea of you know, these half an hour exposures, and I'm just staring at one now and thinking that you're using it as a sort of meditative and sort of almost, you know, helpful process for you to clear your head.
Yeah. Yeah. I come out of those feeling pretty good. Mm-hmm. So
I don't think I could do it.
You haven't got the patience.
I don't. I've done a few that were 4, 5, or 6 minutes. Yeah. And I just was like,
I'd get halfway through and think, I need a wee. I need to go to the loo.
Yeah. No. That picture I did, that self portrait I did of myself in the pool when I had my hands on the edge of the.
Yeah, but you can just go to the toilet then, can't you? No one knows.
Yeah, well, that was 10 minutes. I had to sit there like that for 10 minutes. My wife was like, "What are you doing?" Which she knew what I was doing, but she was, and so she like messed at me and like throws. She'll throw things at me, you know, like
awesome
bricks.
I love you, honey. Thanks. Yeah, cinder blocks. Tree stumps, you know.
Yeah,
but my God, I don't think I could do half an hour. Yeah. I've almost gotten to the point now where I feel like I'm going to have to start doing that though, because I can't really find anybody to photograph. Is, you know, so I'm just like, well, I guess I'm just going to start sitting and doing it myself. Yeah. But
then you have any friends?
I don't have any friends. Yeah. I'm married. I have children. I don't have any friends. My cameras are my friends.
Then just go outside and talk to people and get them to pose for you. It's fine.
Right. But it's hard. But when you say, hey, did you have a second?
Yeah.
How about 30 minutes?
No.
Don't move.
Yeah. No. Whoa. Get some HP5, put it in your Reality So Subtle camera, and you can just hold that pinhole, push someone against the wall and hold them there and say, look into this pinhole and open it for 1 second, 2 seconds, whatever, and close it, and you can hold it steady. And I've got a whole series of images like that. Great. And strangers as well, just random people. They have no idea what you're doing, and they said. And most people are happy and they oblige.
They're happy. Actually, they're happy when you push them against the wall. Tell them not to move.
Yeah. You need to go up to them and say, "Excuse me, sir. Would you mind if I took my pinhole camera and did you against the wall?" Yeah. Say that, and it'll work every time.
We're going to. Either, I think maybe next weekend, where it's the time of the year where we have like our state fair, you know. Mm. So we're going to be going to that, and I'm going to be taking some pictures then.
Well, they're sometimes those sort of events are sometimes the best. Last weekend, I was at a World War II event, and I didn't take a pinhole camera with me, but I took I took my Pentax 6x7, and of course, people expect pictures to be taken, but. So
my God, what did you have, like a harness to carry that thing around all day? 6x7, Pentax, that's a humongous camera.
No, it's not as big as the RB. But the Pentax is a great camera to work with, you know, for photographing people. And I was able to speak to people and engage with them and get right close to them and take their portraits. And they're happy. So, you know, those state fairs, as you say, that people will be happy to pose for you. And they'll be happy to pose for you with your pinhole camera. You should try it.
Well, my plan is going to be to maybe do some pinhole stuff during the day when we're there.
Yeah.
But I'm really going to. There's a time in the evening, you know, just as the sun's setting, where your exposures are with 100 speed film, you know, or, you know, 10 seconds, you know. So I'm planning on shooting a roll around that time just because
you're going to have lots of carousels going round and round in color.
Yeah. And I like people moving, but I don't like exposures that are so long that everybody disappears. I don't like that. I like showing all the people in the movements and what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
But I have that. And then I'm going to bring my little, the LCA 120 with me. And I'm going to take a bunch of pictures with that.
Yeah. I've not seen you sharing any images with that recently. I like those.
I got a bunch of stuff coming. I've got it scanned. I just haven't had a chance to kind of sit down and look at it.
Greg, are you shooting things other than pinholes? Are you shooting normal cameras too?
No, I have a bunch sitting on shelves that have been sitting there for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Me
too.
I have a Holga and I love my Holga.
Oh, I've been posting Holga pictures today.
Yeah, I haven't shot it in years. So...
We'll get it out, man. Let's
make it into a pinholger. Just chop that lens off and make it into.
I did that with one of mine years ago, and I hated it.
Did you?
I did. I don't know. But
maybe we should start a Holga pinhole, a Holga podcast too.
Oh yeah,
could do.
Do you guys both shoot Holgas? Uh-huh.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do. And my Holgas are far superior than Andrew's because
of course.
I have the glass lens Holga as opposed to the plastic lens Holga. And my Holgas were actually handled and touched by Graham of the Sony 16 podcast.
I've actually got Graham's portrait with my Holga, so there.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Now, with the Holga, do you want the glass lens?
No.
It doesn't matter.
No.
I've never had a glass lens.
No, me neither. Why would you have a Holga and have a glass lens unless you're Corey Cowan?
Why not? Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Well, we don't think so, do we, Greg?
I got to agree with you. I don't want a glass lens.
No.
I like the glass lens. It actually, it doesn't seem to vignette as bad, the one I have. I don't have a problem with vignetting. I just...
My Holgas don't really vignette. I've got three, and they all have slightly different sweet spots.
Yeah.
And the ones I've been posting today, the sweet spots will change depending on your focus. So if I'm photographing people just, you know, 3 feet away, then I know the sweet spot's right in the middle, and I'm quite confident of getting that really sharp portrait, and then it goes all that blurry nonsense around the edges. But at infinity or close to infinity, then the sweet spot kind of shifts and you get a sort of off-center sweet spot, and then it goes all weird on the sides. So it's interesting. But you've got to know your Holgas. You've got to love them and use them. And get
you got to shoot them.
Because they're all different. Anyway, Corey.
What?
We used to ask people if they're going to send us any emails, and people have now... We haven't read any out, so people have stopped sending them, but you've got some to read, haven't you?
Yeah, I have one from this one is from Dom S. I think he's on
Dom Silver. I want to say Silver Horn or Man
Thorn,
or something.
Thorn, yeah.
Silver Thorn, yeah.
Like, I think.
Yes, I know. I've been speaking to him about coming on. He makes cameras. He makes cameras and furniture. He's a proper craftsman. He posts on our site, Dom does, and I'm just trying to think of his Twitter handle, but it doesn't matter.
Let me see if I have it in his, I don't think he put it in his email, no he didn't. But he says, hello, my name is Dom. I have been playing around with pinhole photography for around 15 to 20 years on and off. I started when I was at college in photography class, however, I only got more interested in the last 10 years. He's a professional furniture maker.
That's it. That's what I said.
Yeah. So in his spare time, I design and make pinhole, bespoke cameras. Some of I sell now and then. I moved to Japan about a year ago, and I am in the business of building my life, there now, Japan. Last week I was asked if I would teach an English lesson to a group using pinhole photography as the subject. I'm thinking to build a simple camera with the group and take some images explaining the whole process in English. I've been using pinhole for quite some time now. However, have not taken a class before, but look forward to the experience very much. If you have any advice or tips on taking a class, I would love to hear from you. All the best. Keep up the great work you're doing. Dom. Mm. So thanks, Dom.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. So, Greg, you're probably, I'm guessing you're closest to, I mean, Corey has studied photography at school, haven't you? And Dom, yeah. You have too? I never have. So what were some of the best practices and some of the worst practices that your teachers or professors had to pass on to Dom and give him some tips when he's trying to teach Japanese people to take pinhole pictures?
In English?
In English, yeah. What do you think, from your experience, both of you, are the qualities needed to put over the information in a way that's retained?
I mean, nothing that you wouldn't do with any other subject, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's... I don't know. I don't really have any gripes with any of my teachers. I mean, I think my professors, everything went pretty good as far as I'm concerned.
They'd want to be enthusiastic. I mean, you can be enthusiastic about matchboxes, and if you're enthusiastic about matchboxes and you explain it to somebody, you can chat for hours about it. And people are, well, they're kind of interested, but at least if the person is enthusiastic, then that's half the battle, isn't it?
I think one of the biggest things now is having your own body of work to show your students.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that you can show them, like, this is what I'm doing, not just talking about it and doing it, saying, oh, you should do it, it's so great, you know, but then in reality, you don't really do photography, you know? So
I wish one of my professors would have maybe, you know, I don't know his budget or anything, but built some sort of like a camera obscura that the students can actually go in and see what's happening inside the camera.
Sure.
That's
a good idea. I won't read off the date from this email because it's embarrassing. So we'll just say, hopefully the class hasn't happened yet, and you can make a humongous camera obscura.
Learn Japanese. But I think yes, pinhole is just the way to go, isn't it? Or make a pinhole of. Dom, in your classroom, here's what you do: you put blackout over the window and you make a hole and you just show those guys how an image can be formed on the other side of the wall. That's the most basic thing you can do. And then you can tell them that you're now inside a camera.
Basically, you know.
Yeah. That's easy. Easy. Yeah. When we get him on the show, we can ask him how he's getting on.
Well, ask him how his pinhole class went. Mm. Yeah.
But he's a proper craftsman. If you go on his website, he has a few pinhole cameras that he made. I think they're for sale.
That's what he says in his email.
Yeah.
I just said that in the email, Andrew. Come on.
No, I know, but I've been stalking him because I've been chatting with him online, despite the fact that I've forgotten his surname. What, how do you spell his surname?
D-O-M?
What? No, his surname. How do you spell his second name? Silver.
I don't know. That's what I was saying. It's not on the email.
D-O-M. I know it's Dom. You Wally.
That's capital D, actually.
Go on. Any other emails? So that you've read that one. That's from 1996, that email. Wasn't it?
Yeah. Saturday, August the 4th at 9:14 a.m. this was better. It's August the 1st.
Do you mean it's a better email? So what are you saying about Dom's email?
No, Dom's email is great. I just read the date.
Okay.
This one was from actually 2 or 3 days before Dom's. I think this is the show that you said, we want some emails, and people send us emails.
And then you don't read them.
And then we get all tied up and other things happen. This one is from Matt Perry.
He's an actor, isn't he? Even Friends.
Matthew Perry.
He sent us a an email.
Did he? He must have fallen on hard times.
Hi Corey and Andrew. I've been listening to your podcast since about episode 6. Thanks.
That's when I joined.
Yeah. And 6 through, went back and listened to those earlier ones too. And I am loving the pinhole focus, and you've had some great guests. I had planned to send an email a week or so ago, but I've been behind by an episode or so, but almost up to date now. back and listening to everything. Wow.
Yeah, don't worry, Matt. Don't apologize, Matt, for being slow in sending emails. We're even slower in reading them.
Yeah. Now, about a year ago, I had been interested in trying out Pinhole, but had no access to darkroom or 120 scanner. So I put out a question on Twitter about 35mm Pinhole cameras. There were loads of responses, including recent guests to the show, Jaina and Todd. I just wondered if you could put a public thanks out to these two. So thanks, Todd and Jaina, for recommending the 35mm Pinhole cameras to Matt. Todd sent me a 3D printed LTM mount pinhole to try on my Zorky 4. So he must have made him a body cap for his camera. I'm not familiar with the Zorky 4. That's a 35 range.
It's a Soviet range finder, which is a sort of Casino or Leica copy thing. Yeah.
And Jaina sent me a Nopo Pan 135, so she must have actually sent him a
No, yeah. I'll tell you who shoots with that. That's our doctor friend who came on. The Masumi. That's it. Cool. Thank you for digging me out of that hole.
They both sent these out to me for free. I tried a few rolls, loved the look, but then began to yearn for medium format. And long story short, I sold some digital and film kit to get a reality so subtle 6x6F and macro lens to scan the 120 film after he shoots and develops it. Thanks to both Jaina and Todd for getting me some pinholes to try. Secondly, the anamorphic talk with Jaina and Diane sounds and looks amazing. Not sure if this is available in the US, so Andrew, this might be more relevant to you, but I have found that a Nescafe Azura 10, which is like, I guess that's like a coffee can, pretty much perfectly fits a 5x7, and the lid snugly holds it in place. I will attach a picture of one with two pinholes at center and rise that I have used for solography, but plan to put some cut 120 film in. I think I would put a pinhole in the base too and try anamorphic next.
Yeah, they're metal cans. I think if you go into your supermarket, I'm sure you have similar ones with a plastic top on.
Yeah.
And I keep eyeing those up, and they do look the perfect size. The trouble is, it's coffee that you just add water to, and I hate it, you know? So I can't bring myself to buy it and throw the coffee away. And I can't bring myself to buy it and drink the coffee either. So it's I find myself in a bit of a conundrum over the Nescafe Azura tin. I need someone who likes instant coffee to drink it and then give me the tin.
You should send it to Neil Piper and say, thanks for returning my cameras. Here's a gift. And just dump it in a bag.
He's got my Zero camera again. He said he was going to send it back to me this week, but I've not seen it.
And on the bag, write coffee.
So Matt, thank you, Todd and Jaina.
That's awesome.
It's a wonderful pinhole community.
And Matt finishes up by saying, anyway, thanks so much for the podcast.
You're welcome.
And keep up the great work. Kind regards,
we
Matt.
Bumble away.
Wait. On Twitter and Instagram, you can find Matt at mperry, M-P-A-R-R-Y, 1234.
I've followed Matt for...
Well, there's people listening that might not.
No, I know. I know him. Now you've described him properly. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Yep.
I've been Twitter buddies with Matt for years.
Years.
Okay. Any more?
That's since the beginning of Twitter.
Since the Big Bang.
No, that's it for the emails. Wait a second. No.
You said we'd had three or four.
Yeah, there's three. This is the last one. And this one actually came in this one came to me from my web page that I have, my website that I have some pinhole stuff on. And this is Mark. Do you know Mark Fohl, Andrew?
Spells
F-O-H-L.
No, I don't think so, but hey, you know, I've got so many followers. I can't keep track of all of them.
Yeah. But he says, hi, Corey. I was listening to the Lenses podcast a week or two ago, and someone mentioned that they were out with their pinhole, and someone asked if that was a Hasselblad. What a coincidence. I was out last week with my Monster 5x7 camera, and someone asked me if that was a Hasselblad.
Yeah, and
this was an older gentleman, not unlike myself, who had a digital camera with a big lens and a tripod. My assumption was that all of us older photographers would know about film photography and would know that what a medium format camera was and wasn't. Apparently not so.
I can't remember what show that was, but I think I'd just come back from Wales. You remember when Neil Piper stood in for me when I was away in Wales?
Oh yeah.
And I'd been up Mount Snowdon in Wales, and I took my Toyo field camera up the mountain. I hasten to add, I wasn't walking or climbing the mountain. I went up on a train, and you get about 30 minutes at the top, and I hurriedly set up my field camera, and somebody said to me, is that a Hasselblad? I went, no, it's a 4x5 film camera. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And I,
so then he goes,
I thought you finished. I'm just trying to stop the silence.
I am a pinhole user myself, being the proud, this is continuing on with Mark Foles' email. I am a pinhole user myself, being the proud owner of a zero image multi-format. That's a nice camera. I enjoy using it, but only use it a few times a year, one of which is Pinhole Sunday. So I don't know what Pinhole Sunday is. It must just be his.
I think he made it up.
Yeah. Keep up the great podcast. Cheers, Mark. So thanks.
Anyway, Mark, get back in touch and tell us about Pinhole Sunday. Maybe we're missing something. Or maybe he means Worldwide Pinhole Day, which is normally on a Sunday, isn't it?
Well, let's see. This email came to us August the 16th. Mm. So, yeah, that would have been.
That's not World Pinhole Day. We're missing something. Yeah. We need to find out what Pinhole Sunday is. Get back in touch. And in about a year's time, we'll read your email again.
Maybe.
And I had a message, or again, it was such a long time ago, from a friend of mine, Ian Fleming, who lives down in the sort of towards the West Country. And Ian's a great chap, and he frequents the various podcasts, and he was just saying, well done, Andrew, you've really improved the quality of the show. No, he didn't. He said he's enjoyed listening to it, and it's thank you very much. So, Ian, hope you're well.
Thank you, Ian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not the Ian Fleming who wrote James Bond, because he's dead.
I don't know that Ian Fleming either, so. Well, I think that's it for the day. We've thoroughly
worn Greg out.
Yeah, I'm taking a nap right after this.
Yeah,
I've got to make some Thai phyllo salmon parcels to bake in the oven. That sounds good to me.
I'm glad I'm not in your house.
Nah.
Between that and the curry last week, what was it?
No, that was a red Thai curry last week. So we're keeping the Thai thing.
And all that Foster, I'm sure the window treatments are moving around in your house now. The breeze going through there. All right.
So where can we find you, Curry?
Let's let Greg go first.
Oh, yeah. Hello, yes. Greg. Oh, I forgot you were still there. Where can we find you, Greg?
Yeah, I'm still here. small_aperture on Instagram. I just joined Flickr a little while ago. I haven't done anything on it. I think it's just Gregory Lancaster. I don't know.
Are you in our Flickr group?
I'm in Lenses the Flickr podcast? Group. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, Andrew's getting excited. Here he comes. Like he's winding up.
But yeah, I literally haven't done anything on it yet. So.
Neither is Corey, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It's weird. It seems like a lot. There's not. I mean, there's stuff happening on, but it seems like people are just posting the pictures like straight from Instagram onto it. You know what I mean? So like, I've been going on and like seeing stuff that I'm just seeing on Instagram. So.
Yeah. It is an easier place to go and look at bodies of work and then clicking on. And you can go back to that photographer and see more. So it's another useful way of following people, but it's not as lively as as the Facebook group, is it? No, I do. Okay. I do confess.
So, Greg, do you have a website?
I do not have one right now. That's
okay.
That's something that will happen this year. So,
sure, cool. Yeah. Look forward to it.
So, we highly recommend people go and check out Greg's work on Instagram. Click on the images. Don't just sort of like them. Well, like them as well, but click on them, and there's a story. There's a story behind them.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff.
Great.
Yeah. And you can find me on Instagram at Pinhole Cannon. I've had a few people ask me about the show's page. I'm just kind of rolled it over into my Pinhole Cannon page. It's just a little easier. So that's where you can find show updates. And I post the most recent show, a link to the most recent show in my bio. So you can just tap on that if you want to have a listen.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yep. And same, I'm the same on Flickr, and I'm in the Facebook group, that's about it.
Yeah. And you can find us at The Lensless on Twitter, which is mainly me. Well, in fact, solely me. And the Lensless Podcast Facebook group, which is growing nicely. If you apply, you do get asked a question, and I would love it if you could just answer the question, please. Sometimes I let folk in, and Corey lets folk in if we can see that you're really focused on Pinhole, but you know, if we,
there's a lot of randomness.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I don't think I got a question.
No, I gave you a pass.
Well, thank you.
It does happen. Sometimes I just, everybody who applies, if they don't answer the question, I send them a little message, Corey. I'd encourage you to do the same. Says, hey, would you mind just answering it? The question in nicely, you know, don't be rude to our guests and people. So would you mind answering it? And sometimes they just ignore me and then I just decline them.
Right. But,
you know, we're trying to keep the Facebook group focused, aren't we? And keeping it on the money when it comes to Pinhole. So mm-hmm. Twitter and Facebook, you can find my photography at Warboys Snapper in various places, really.
Yeah. So that's it. Thanks so much, Greg, for waking up early and coming and talking with us. And hey,
thanks, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
Forward to seeing some more of your photography.
We do.
All right. So everybody have a great weekend. And next week we should be back with the Friday show. We've had Saturday the last couple Saturdays, but I think we're going to be back on Friday next week.
Could be.
Yep. All right.
Pinholes be nice.
Shoot pinholes, not guns.
Yeah.
And everybody have a great weekend.
Bye. Bye.
Now, let's do that again. I don't like that one. That one sounded weird.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Greg. No, it's good.
What was weird about it?
I feel weird. It sounds weird.
Okay, sorry. I'll try and be a bit more engaging.
No, it wasn't you. No.